Great to see everybody. Everybody here this morning. Hope you have a bulletin. Hope you have a bulletin. Today we're talking about the iOS. The iOS at work in you. What does that mean? The iOS. There are two systems that are at work in social media for the most part. One is iOS and the other one is Android. And Android, believe it or not, Android still is larger than iOS. But iOS, we want to say what that, we want to just think about that this morning is what can that be in your life and in my life? Last week we talked about the supernatural church. I continue to think about that sermon because I want to make sure that our church, as Augustine says in this quote, the idea is what the soul is in our body, the Holy Spirit is in the body of Christ, which is the church. I don't want to be, I was talking to a gentleman this week, he was saying that he made this comment from time to time, and he said, well, you know, in the secular church, and he'd say something, and in the secular church, and we got ready to part ways, and I said, it's interesting that you say the secular church. In fact, it's troubling that you say that, but we're going to kind of see some of the things that can be, if we're not a supernatural church, we're going to be a secular church. We need to be the supernatural church of Jesus Christ. Augustine gave us a model for that. Just as the soul is valuable in the human body, the Holy Spirit is valuable in the body of Jesus, the church. Saw that even again this morning in Sunday school. Hope you were listening and paying attention. It's the idea that the Holy Spirit is present. This body that we're a part of has nothing to do with communism or socialism. It has everything to do with the kingdom. And the kingdom means that the focus is not you, me, and all this other stuff. The kingdom means the focus is God, and we exist in relation to God. So the focus does become you and me, otherwise in relation to our relationship with God. I hope we never forget that. Just because we're together does not mean the Holy Spirit is flowing. Talked about that. That was a wake up for me. Just because we're in the same place, just because people show up at an event and they wear the same clothing and have the same chants does not mean that the Holy Spirit is there. Just because we're together. The takeaway from last week, and I love this quote from Francis Chan, he said, I don't want my life to be explainable without the Holy Spirit. That is powerful. We can explain a lot of things away in life, but I pray for my life and for all of us that our lives cannot be explained apart from the Holy Spirit, to live in such a way that it shows that we are desperate for Him to come through. I was thinking even this morning going over the message, almost looking at preaching last week's message again, because I don't want us to miss that element of the presence. We talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit, but I'm really saying we need the presence of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, our conversations and our attitudes and our mindsets and our reaction toward each other get so far off track of who and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our midst. Live in such a way. God is calling us to live in such a way that depends on Him every moment. A life that can't be mimicked, a life that can't be forged. To walk in step, we saw that last week in Galatians 5, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, not leaning on our own talent, our own ability, and our own, what we would say, gifts, leaning on the Holy Spirit. We use the illustration in 1 Kings chapter 18 from the Old Testament. There's Elijah on this beautiful mountainside. We've been there. We've seen that spot where he was there up against the prophets of Baal. And when all this was done, when the sacrifices were given on one side and nothing happened, Elijah puts up his sacrifice, douses it repeatedly with water. God moves. The people are so blown away and they say, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. My prayer is as we part company, whether it be from Sunday school, home group, Wednesday night prayer meeting, or Sunday morning, or even this afternoon at Walmart South, yes, yes, that when we leave, we're like, instead of saying, whoa, a lot of people showed up. We gave away a lot of Bibles. We ran out of candy. We ran out of hot dogs. Instead of thinking about that, those are elements of the event, but to understand that God really wants to show up and speak into the lives of people. Even if it's through hot dogs and caramel apples and popcorn, He wants to do something, something major. iOS, let's talk about that this morning. I've heard that, and in fact, this week we had one of those iOS updates that came on the Apple phone. I never thought in my wildest dreams I'd ever own an Apple phone. And then when they came up with Apple Watches, I thought, who in their mind, right mind, would spend all kinds of money for an Apple Watch? But here we have these iOS, and I thought, what does that I stand for? And you can see this is what Steve Jobs told the folks when he was speaking in Berlin back in September of 07. The I, we know the O is for operating, the S is for system, operating system. The I stands for internet. And Steve Jobs went on to say it can stand for individual, instruct, inform, or inspire. I especially like that one. This week, there was an iOS upgrade on our phone, and I had no clue what that meant. All I knew to do was to plug it in, make sure it was on the internet, and go to bed. The next morning, it was updated, and I turned it on, and I still didn't see anything different. So I went online to find out what was different. They said, well, you're getting help with your maps, all kinds of help with photos, storing, retrieving, editing. Siri got a voice makeover. I still have issues with Siri. There are times that I will voice text people, and it doesn't make sense. Siri does not understand me, and I think she even took a couple steps backward with this new iOS update. The dark mode, easier for the eyes, won't disturb people around, like when you're in the movie theater. No, don't use your phone there. Memoji stickers, the do not disturb while driving. Now, that's already been on your phone if you didn't know it, iOS users. There's a little feature you can zip or click it on there, and so when you're driving, you're not able to text or talk on your phone. Even sends a little message if somebody tries to call you or send you a text, can't talk right now, I'm on the phone. Well, with this new upgrade, they made it so that if you're on the bus, the interurban, a train, a plane, wherever, on a boat, that you can still talk because you're on public transit. Somehow the phone recognizes the difference between you driving and you riding a bus, train, automobile, where you're not driving. I don't know how all this works. All I know is my phone still makes phone calls. It still does. The technology amazes me. We'll never know all the stuff that can happen with your phone. My question is this: what if we seriously considered the Holy Spirit as the iOS for Christians? What if the Holy Spirit was the thing that made you tick? I'm not talking about being ticked off. I'm talking about ticking. What if the Holy Spirit was that entity in your life and in my life that was the operating system and all those words that we thought of, internet and individual, but the word inspiration? What if the Holy Spirit was moment by moment, breath by breath, step by step, occupying your life? And we got away from this stuff like, well, you know, I've always been told. And more like, you know, I need to think and pray about that and get back with you. Or it seems right. I sometimes look at these statements of our historical fathers. What a powerful thing it is to go up to Philadelphia, up there into Pennsylvania and on into Massachusetts, the Boston area, and even down over to D.C. and see all these documents and the history. And there were so many times, and we don't hear about this in our history, but so many times the founding fathers said, it seemed right by us after conversing with the Almighty. There was some kind of operating system at work that's been glossed over through the last 200 and something years. The Holy Spirit. Paul's that guy that knew what it meant. We're going to spend time today in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul was that guy that understood the iOS, the Holy Spirit operating in your life. Paul was that guy. Edward Adams gives us some information about the church at Corinth, which is what we're looking at today. And if you have your outline handy, we'll fill in some blanks in a bit. I love what he has to say. A lot of things happening. In fact, as you look at the New Testament, you'll notice that 1 and 2 Corinthians occupy the biggest portion of Paul's writings to the churches. There are the other churches he addresses, does some work with Timothy, but it's the biggest portion of his preaching and writing is to the church at Corinth. Why? Well, that was a very important church. And he saw a lot of things happening in the life of the church, I believe, that he sees that could happen in the life of the church today. A lot of the same things. Some of the things Adams talks about, he says in his writing, there were a lot of converts there from the Gentiles, but there were also Jews, and they had a majority of members that were all over the economic strata. You had a lot of lower class folks. Some were slaves. You had some that were wise and powerful, some that were even of noble birth. The socioeconomic range was huge in the life of the Corinthian church. And with that wide range of social economic people in the church, it brought about a lot of friction. The division. Probably one of the reasons Paul wrote this was because he wanted them to understand that it makes no difference whether you're the poorest or the richest. In Jesus, you matter just the same. Think about that today as well. James talks about that later in his writings. If somebody comes in who's poor, you don't, you know, put them in another seat, and somebody who's rich, you get this seat. It's this what Paul is talking about here at the church in Corinth. He says, some of you have a lot of food and others are going hungry. He talks about that in 1 Corinthians 11. He talks also in 1 Corinthians 11 about the fact that women were actively involved in the life of the church as they gathered for prayer, as prophecy was taking place. Women were involved in the life of the church. Doesn't say that much in his other letters. The church at Corinth had a lot of internal tension, a lot of factions that were going on. Some were wanting to follow Apollos. Some were wanting to follow Peter and then Jesus. And Paul's like, you need to understand, it's all about following Jesus. There came the splits. Offering food to idols. Some believed they had liberty to eat whatever, whenever they wanted. Others considered eating food that had been sacrificed to idols sinful and dangerous. There were a lot of conflicts in the group. The Christians at Corinth enjoyed friendly relations with outsiders, which was not a bad thing. Believers dined with non-believers, but Paul was concerned that they had gotten too cozy with some of those. In fact, I hear it said today, what do we see or what do we experience is the difference between that follower of Jesus versus the one who is the non-follower of Jesus. They were involved in lots of problems. In fact, they were patronizing prostitutes, participating in pagan cultic meals. They were conforming to the behavior patterns of their society. What's different? What's different? What's different among us? Now, some people will look at this and they'll say, whether it be in the Old Testament or what Paul's writing here in the church to the church at Corinth, they'll look at that and say, well, you know, just goes to show, times never change. People are still people. That's true. But the reason that Paul writes this is so that we don't have to stay that way. Amen. You understand? He doesn't give us this writing as an excuse for our bad behavior. He gives it writing to us as a challenge to depend on what we're going to call today the iOS, the Holy Spirit, released and at work in your lives. Just because you had a relative somewhere that was an alcoholic, just because you had a relative that was addicted to some other kind of behavior or some kind of attitude or whatever, doesn't give us the right. Abuse being gone down through generation to generation, there's a lot of times Janie and I will talk with people. And one of the things she'll say is, Jim, they need to break the generational curse. Yeah. And that's what the Holy Spirit, and that's why Paul's writing this letter to the church at Corinth. And we'll see him unpack it here in just a moment. A lot of deeds of the flesh at work, but Paul said, you can do something different. You can be something different. He gives them specific handles to take care of this. Let's talk about that. The Holy Spirit. Number one is the Holy Spirit teaches and reminds. If you have an outline handy, he teaches and reminds. He teaches and reminds us of what we need to know and what we need to remember. I like that. He's our teacher. He's our guide. We don't have to go through life aimless. We don't have to go through life depending on the polls, whether they be political polls or social taken polls in certain categories, age groups, certain cultures. We don't have to go by. We can understand through the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at what God's Word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I love it. It says, we'll start at verse 10. Actually, I guess we could back up to 9 and get the quote from, I think that's Isaiah there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. I love it. Now goes Paul's. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. See, that's this first point. He's teaching and reminding us. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Looking for the secret? Spirit's going to help you. On verse 11, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. Okay, you can't read minds. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given to us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, and I've got this underlined, instead we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them. You ever had somebody you've been trying to minister to connect with, and all of a sudden you feel like you're going this way and they're going this way? This is what Paul is talking about. It sounds like foolishness. They can't understand it. For those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? And I love what he says here, and this is the key to this teaching, the sermon, the whole thing. But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. That's the focus of the sermon, this idea of getting that iOS, that internet in our head, that inspiration in our head, the Holy Spirit at work in our individual mind to give us the mind of Christ. There's sometimes you'll encounter people that you'll love, you'll do life with, and there may come a period of time where you have to do life with them from a little distance, because their iOS is destroying your iOS. Their system is messing with your system. And they say, well, Jim, aren't we supposed to minister to them? Absolutely. Pray for them. That's the biggest and best thing you can do is pray. God, get a hold of them. We used to have a DS's wife who became a general's wife because he became a general, and then he retired, and she used to say this. Her name was Susan Biddendorf. She said this. She said, I've prayed this many times. Lord, either move them up, move them out, or kill them. She said, I'll tell you this. The Lord has moved some up, he's moved some out, and he's killed some. That's pretty brazen. Of course, she was from Alabama. You know, so she can just kind of let her rip there, right there, you know. But I'm just telling you that this is a battle for your mind. And what we need to have is the mind of Christ. And we can't afford to let the mind of others and other situations get entangled with the mind of Christ that he wants us to have. We have to be that desperate. And I'm not smart enough to be otherwise. I don't know about, maybe you are. Maybe you can dabble here, there, and there. I can't do that. I have to desperately, deeply seek the mind of Jesus. The second thing is this. The Holy Spirit brings us life and freedom. Now let's jump over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul continues to teach. Boy, these folks were, as my friend Mark Stevens would say, these folks were a piece of work. They were a piece of work. Chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 3:16, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. There are so many sermons that you could preach a sermon on each one of these verses, basically. But I want to just highlight for a moment, the Holy Spirit brings us life, and the Holy Spirit brings us freedom. Don't forget that. Paul's reaching all the way back in this passage, talking about what was happening with Moses. And when Moses experienced the glory of the Lord, and it was like this little glimpse, and they're like, boy, this is something new. This is something different. This is something. Don't look at Moses. Because the glory was on him in such a way that, whoa. And so he had to put a veil on his face. And Paul's talking to them, and some of those that came from the Jewish background, as well as the Gentiles who knew their Jewish history, were saying, yeah, I remember that about hearing that about Moses. That was scary. It was awesome, but it was scary because God's glory was on him. And then Paul goes on, he says, you know what? In Jesus and with the work of the Holy Spirit, you can have that same glory in your life. That is so important. He wants to come and give you life and give you freedom. See, this idea of following Jesus is not just some kind of a rehab thing or some little makeover thing. We're going to see the word transformation again and again as Paul speaks about what he wants to do. The third thing is this. As members of God's kingdom, we can have a manifestation of the Spirit in our lives. Now, we could look there for a while. If you want to, you can. You don't have to. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. First sermon I ever preached was out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talking about the body, one body, many parts. Paul says early in that chapter in verse 7, he says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So as members of the kingdom, we have a manifestation of the Spirit. You have been gifted. All of us have been gifted at least one and sometimes many gifts as the Spirit gives them to us. Why? To help other people. He gives us gifts to help other people. I can go and just look at different people and know that their gifts, how your gifts matter. This morning, Case was using his gift to lead us in worship. Lorraine uses her gift on the keyboard. Jerry and Jody singing and Laura singing. All these gifts that are being used, and it's not just that. It's in so many other areas as Sunday school teachers and sometimes just monitoring the foyer and our security team. Gifts that the Spirit, so that we can help each other. This fruit that's released in our lives, our attitudes, our actions, all of these things happen because the Holy Spirit is at work in the body. That's one of the reasons it's important for us to gather together. Right. You know? That's why we need each other, is because the body. That's what Paul was trying to tell them. They were stuck in all their socioeconomical things and then some of their evil practices. They were trying to mesh that in. And Paul says, no. You, just like your body can't deal with infection, sin can't be in the body either. Right. So all those things are at play. And Paul says, understand this. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives you that gift for the good of the body. And then the last one is this. The Holy Spirit is our sanctifier. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I love it. And I don't know that I love this New Living Translation. I don't know if it does enough justice to the thought of how the Holy Spirit wants to work in us. I put that up here out of the NIV, though, because it says, and we all, let's read that together. Would you join me after where it says 2 Corinthians 3:18? Here we go. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We are being transformed. We're being transformed. You and I have that opportunity. We have that privilege. We have the responsibility not just to stay where we're at. I listen to podcasts. I'm sure many of you listen to podcasts all the time. A lot of the ones I listen to deal with pastors or other leadership type podcasts. And one of the things I hear again and again and again is don't get stuck. Don't just do the same thing over and over and over again expecting to get different results. Don't get to a point in your life, whether it be age-wise or work-wise or whatever, relationship-wise, where you just stop growing. Continue to grow is one of the main topics that keeps coming up. I look at that and I'm like, continue to allow the Holy Spirit to transform you. That job is never over. Can I just say that? It says we're being transformed. I am transformed and I'm being transformed. And at the end of this life, I will be transformed into something totally different and awesome. Allowing him to transform us, not us getting stuck. The Holy Spirit wants to fix us. And we talked about that last week. Guys, you can't fix your wife. Wives, you can't fix your husband. Now, I'm going to say that again. Let's have a little fun here, okay? And let's just see which amen gets more amens, okay? Husbands, you can't fix your wives. Amen. There are a lot of guys, okay. Wives, you can't fix your husbands. Amen. All right. But the Holy Spirit can fix you. Amen. The Holy Spirit can fix you. I see a lot of people in relationships, work relationships, church relationships, husband and wife relationship, parent-child, child-parent relationships, because the fixing isn't getting fixed. Like, why can't they just realize? But the Holy Spirit is the one that wants to, and the word sanctify also means cleanse. And when something gets cleansed, that means all the impurities get washed away. All the garbage gets washed away. Cleansed, sanctified, transformed. It's all at work in a body that he wants us to what? In his image, ever-increasing glory. We're looking at changing still and still. And there's when we first come to Jesus, there's that initial moment where the Spirit just goes, boom. And as you walk with Jesus, he's just continuing to do that. We believe there's a point along the journey where we're just like, we throw up our hands and we say, Lord, take it all. That entire surrender, that entire cleansing, that entire sanctification, that whatever you want to call that moment where we're just like, take it all. Yeah. That's why I love Mark Murphy's song, I Give Me. Yes. Because that little boy at that moment is like, Lord, I give me everything I am. Francis Chan says this, good theology should lead us to right action, genuine love, and true worship. I had to grab that quote. I don't even know if it does fit. It fits about any conversation on theology, okay? Because it's one thing to know a lot of stuff. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 13. I can know all this stuff and comprehend all this wisdom and knowledge. But here's the story, is this good theology leads me to right action, genuine love, and true worship. The goal is this, as the Holy Spirit works in us and we want to have that iOS system at work, is that we can have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Some people have come along and they said, you know what? Most people only use like 10% of their brain. I've been doing some studying and it's all over the map. A lot of us can use between 10 and 30 or 40% at any given moment. Don't sell yourself short on what the Holy Spirit... I'm listening to a podcast that deals with the brain, and there, this lady, Dr. Leaf, has had like dozens of episodes dealing with the brain, and she talks about even recreating pathways in the brain. See, we get ourselves stuck, and people around us want to put us in a spot and say, well, that's just who they are, and that's just how they behave, and the Holy Spirit wants to come along and transform and change, and He wants to create new pathways in your mind and in your heart. He wants to do that work in you. I was thinking about this, and for some crazy reason, as only my brain works, I thought about Albert Einstein. Anybody, you know Albert Einstein, that great scientist, died in 1955. He gave strict orders, maybe you know this story, he gave strict orders that he be cremated because he didn't want anybody messing with him, with his body, with his brain for sure. Because people were enamored at how Albert Einstein thought. And he said, I want to be cremated because I don't want to mess with my brain and I don't want them to idolize me. I don't want them to idolize me. He was that one that had the theory of relativity, the law of photoelectric effect, a very serious guy with a serious brain. And when he died in 1955, I just found this out this week, studying about his brain and thinking about the mind of Christ. Thomas Harvey, anybody ever heard of Thomas Harvey? He stole Albert Einstein's brain. Did you know that? There was a whole big article in National Geographic about the fact that he stole Albert Einstein's brain. Didn't want it to be studied, didn't want to be worshipped. He said he had left behind specific instructions regarding this. Scatter the ashes secretly so that nobody will idolize my life. But Harvey took his brain anyway. Came to light a few days later, he managed to get a reluctant and retroactive blessing from Einstein's son, Hans Albert. And he said the only thing was that his study would only be done for science purposes. And Harvey just had a crazy brain of his own, and I won't go into the whole thing. But I will tell you briefly, he took Einstein's brain and cut it into 240 pieces and preserved it, because he wanted to study it. And later in life, he just sat around and told his friends, guess what I have in the basement in a jar? And if you'd like some, I'll share it with you. Is that crazy or what? Is that just crazy? See, that's not that. And see, that's how the world functions and all of its methods and its thoughts and its processes. And God comes along and says, I want to put a different operating system in your brain. Yes. I want to do something different. And I love the quote I found a couple weeks ago. It says this, the leader is the person that has a compass in their brain and a magnet in their heart. I like that quote because it says this, that we're thinking, we're focused on where the goal is, where the mission is, but the magnet is there to keep us thinking about the mission around us as well. People first, mission always. Thinking about that. What operates in your brain? Now, I love it because Paul just says this. I don't know what's going on in your brain, and thank goodness you don't know what's going on in my brain. But the goal is this, is to have what? The mind of Christ. How does that happen? Through the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? When we allow Him to transform our mind, and what I say is creating pathways in the brain for the Spirit to work, for the Spirit to work, for the Spirit to work. Are there any new pathways in your brain? Or are you still working with your own operating system? That's a big question. Really, every sermon boils down to that, doesn't it? My way or God's way boils down to that. How am I going to do it? Let's stand this morning and take a moment and spend some time in prayer. And I want to invite you this morning, if you'd like to come and pray. And the question is this: are we going to be operating with our own system in life, or with heads bowed, eyes closed, and in an attitude of prayer? Are we going to allow the Holy Spirit to transform our minds and our lives to be the operating system that He wants to do in our minds and our hearts? What's happening, folks? We live in a crazy world. I've even had to go through social media lately and just kind of unfriend some situations because I didn't want that stuff in my mind. And I'm not talking about some crazy, wicked place on the internet. I'm talking about Facebook. I'm just talking about social media. Are we allowing that system to operate in us through the Word and through the reinforcement of other godly teaching, through Jesus-focused devotional material, through the influence and the support and the prayers of God's people? Are we allowing, and the writer in Proverbs talks about iron sharpening iron. It's those Jesus relationships. And even if we're in relationships that don't have anything to do with Jesus, that we become an ambassador, we already are. Let me just say this, that we exude the presence of Jesus into that situation. And we allow the Spirit to speak and work through us. And if we understand that the Spirit speaking and working through us is not at work, then we say, Holy Spirit, give me a different strategy. How are we doing this morning? Is the Holy Spirit that operating system in your brain or in your mind? Or is something else stuck? I've always thought, Jim, well, what does the Word say? I've always believed, what does the Word teach? Allowing the Holy Spirit to be that operating system in our heart and in our mind. That's why we're studying the Holy Spirit. So we don't have to go through life aggravated and frustrated and all bent out of shape and upset with people. That as we keep in step with the Spirit, we can understand what the fruit of the Spirit's all about. We talked about that last week. As we keep in step with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is active in our lives. And we're producing, through the help of the Holy Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, and on and on and on. We could take our whole life and just focus on the first three, or pick any one of the nine and take a whole life developing that fruit. Dear Jesus, in this attitude and time of prayer, we ask that You would help us to have an operating system that is fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit, an operating system that is mindful of the mind of Christ, that desires to have the mind of Christ, that desires to be a prophet like Elijah, so that when people see God at work around us, they can say, wow, He is God. He is God. Not He's a nice person, she's a nice person. But they look and they say, God is awesome. Jesus, that's our prayer. That's our desire. We can create and manufacture all kinds of mechanisms. But Jesus, we lean on the Holy Spirit to be the one to remind us, to teach us, to convict us, to inspire us, to direct us. Breath by breath, as we said earlier, step by step, prayer by prayer. Father, I pray You'd be at the altar this morning and meet with each need that's represented here. Be throughout this sanctuary. Touch each heart in these pews today. We know there are those unable to be here today because of sickness, and those that are grieving like Jeremy and Aaron Bousman and that have lost a granddad, and others that just have specific needs that can't be here. Jesus, minister to them, we pray. But Lord, for right now, for right here, we ask Your specific touch on each heart, so that in a little while when we pray and when we prepare to go and go throughout the rest of this day, that we will know You have met with us. You are helping us. You are healing us. You're equipping us. We give You praise and thanks. Holy Spirit, we need You. Holy Spirit, I've learned enough to know that I can't make it without You. I can't. I can't make it without You. teach me, Holy Spirit. Convict me, Holy Spirit. Forgive me, Holy Spirit. Guide me, inspire me for your kingdom, for your glory, and for every need here at the altar today, Lord. Those that we're praying for as well, those that need to know you, those that need healing today, those that need encouragement today, those that need inspired today, Holy Spirit, do your work, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Maybe see. Amen. Amen.